are listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Risco. This message was recorded on September 3rd, 2025, and is titled Righteousness. Grab your Bible, turn to the book of Romans, and let's join Steve and the message.
Yesterday, I went to the eye doctor for the last time, and this right eye that had started out 2 months ago, 2040, is now 2020. This one is bumping around 2020. She said they'll move around and level out, and one day one will be better than the other. And it's kind of like being married. You know, one day one's really performing good and the other not. And then there you go. I've been doing so good. But anyhow, praise the Lord, because for a guy that's wore his glasses for 40 years, and I can tell you right now that I know for a fact that I'm still not perfect, but that goes from everything from here to there. But the eye thing is doing really good. The Lord's promise to me was absolutely true and remains absolutely true. So to believe God and let it be accredited to you as righteousness, as we've taught around here out of Romans 4, is very important. It's been important for a lot of people. That one day, week's teaching right there out of Romans 4, the first week of July, has brought more testimony. People that woke up and they read the scripture. It wasn't about hearing me. It's about looking at God's word and saying, yes, yes, I can believe God. Believing for what? I'm going to tell you the key to believing God is the key to it all is hearing him. Yesterday morning, the Lord gave me a really good insight to the book of Revelation. You know, everybody gets all excited about the book of Revelation because everybody would like to crack the code. You know, that's the Christian endeavor, to crack the code. Ain't nobody going to crack the code. You'll know the day you're standing there face to face, you'll go, ooh, code's cracked. I wish I'd have got ready. Yeah. I wasn't planning on being here in my jammies. I wish I'd got ready. Wish I'd have been dressed. But the insight to John sitting on the backside of the island of Patmos, exiled. Nobody to tend to him. Nobody to minister to him. Nobody to pray with him. None of that. And he met with God and was elevated to a place. Now, this isn't scriptural. This is just me making a human assumption. You know, we do a lot of that in Christianity. But just assume that John was sitting there, hadn't had a decent meal now in a long time. Belly button slapped up against his backbone. Everybody's getting killed off. Whole world's kind of in a mess, or their world's in a mess. And you're sitting there on an island all by yourself, wondering, where do I go from here? What's next, God? What's next? He didn't get to run down to Mardell's and buy a book about what somebody thought was next. He didn't get to turn on to all the Christian channels on the Dish TV to see which prophet you liked the best this week. He didn't have any of that. He's just sitting there all by himself. And I can only imagine after several days where a man might ask himself, what the heck? What happens next? Where do we go from here, Jesus? You came, you died, you resurrected. Your spirit's been ministering to me ever since. But what now? And here comes this flood. Here comes a flood of things that look like beasts and dragons and angels and lamps and lanyards and rivers and clouds. Things that are scary and things that are friendly. Wedding tables, bridegrooms, brides, horses. All this stuff comes rushing in. He tells them ahead of time, write all this down, John, because it's going to be necessary for my people. But after I thought about it there yesterday morning, then when I got home, and I thought, you know what? Maybe rather than just trying to crack the code, maybe we ought to just stop and take a look at John. He's the human in the story. You see, everybody's going to get a turn at Patmos. Whatever the diagnosis is that day, whatever the banker says that day, whether your house catches on fire or you're swept away in a flood, we have the benefits of community and a lot of people come to our aid. But no matter, you will always have those moments by yourself in the midst of your mess where you will, in the privacy of your life with God, you'll say, what the heck? What's next? And I hope that you hear your God, our God, speak, and that he gives you revelation about your time and your situation, and that he'll give you instruction and encouragement and direction, that he'll bring people into your path and people into your life that will also encourage you and meet your needs and help you through your time. But I came to realize yesterday morning for me, that thinking about John and his island now became more important to me than cracking the code. I need revelation. What's next? You do realize now for the last 20 years sitting around here, that's exactly what's happened. And as we've grown together as a group, not in numbers, but in our maturity and some of our relationships, we've encountered times as individuals and times together. Whether you're talking about our nation or you're talking about our community, you're talking about our individual situations. God has been faithful to give us revelation, to give us a word, to give us something to go on, to give us a place to put our foot, a place to put the next one. And he has led us. He has led us through the tough times. He's led us through the stuff. He's brought us to our blessings. But he left us there long enough to get the lesson. We have a church in America today that's all about the blessing. Listen, the blessings come and go. The blessings come and go. They're great for a moment. The lessons stay forever. The things that you put into practice that actually build your house on will last even generationally. Even generationally. And God has been leading us through times. He's taught us about Passover. He's taught us about these different things. We've got a lot more to learn, a lot more to hear. But our prayers have lined up with him. We've gotten like-minded with him. We've seen God move the atmosphere. We've seen God heal the sick. We've seen God do all kinds of miraculous things. Tammy, has he done anything with you in the last day or two? Yeah, amen. Yeah, miracles setting all around us of things that the Lord has done and continues to do with his people and for his people. The part nobody wants to talk about in America today. Pretenders and contenders can all be attenders, but they are not one and the same. Contenders for the gospel. Serious about the word. Separates us from the rest. The anointing of God that's upon us, that sanctifies us, set us apart. That's what sets us apart. People who hear his voice. People who know his word. People who know his presence. People who are willing to listen and try their best to obey. You don't have to get it plumb right all the time, because nobody really knows what plumb right really is. Nobody understands your humanity better than the Creator himself. But my humanity, on my best day and worst day, doesn't change anything about my faith. On my worst day, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. Because I'm a believer, that will turn that worst day into something better. But I'm still a believer. So I just want to encourage you with that today. That revelation from God. We're not talking about pandering to prophecies of God for financial gain, but to believe God. To simply believe God. And have him accredit it to us as righteousness. We'll talk about that here in just a minute out of Romans 6. To believe God. I think it's one of the most important things, probably the most important thing a man can do. And I don't think anybody can tell you how to do it. You have to find your way to that. Find your way to that. So let's pray and we'll read a little word. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you tonight for a lot of great things are happening around here. And Lord, we're just so thankful. And Lord, you know. I pray that your people are thankful, Lord, that we don't find ourselves whining around, but find ourselves giving you praise and glory because we've trusted you. We've believed in you. And you're faithful to deliver. You're faithful to guide. You're faithful to bless. You're faithful to correct. You're faithful in all of it. So, Lord, tonight, take this little bit of scripture we're going to go over. And I hope, Lord, that you will make it come out your way, not my way. Lord, it's a word that will help us today, tomorrow, the days to come, that it truly is a lamp unto our feet that causes our feet not to stumble. So, Lord, redeem this time to your glory. Let it all be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, we're going to get over here in chapter 6 of Romans. I'm going to sit down here a minute. It says, what then, in verse 15, says right here, what then, well, he's talking about sin. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slave to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Couple of things here before we move on. In our journey of Christianity, have we kind of deemed sin as far as a hindrance in our life? How many of us brought up to believe that sin would keep you out of heaven? And in order to go to heaven, you got to get this stuff took care of. Well, it's a good idea. Get it took care of. What he said right there in the Word is sin will keep you from righteousness. Sin leads to death, but obedience, see, that's stepping away from your sin. Doing the will of God leads to righteousness. Now we'll read on here that eventually that turns into eternal life. But how easy has it been over generations now to preach attendance in heaven without ever reaching righteousness? And then you got to answer the question, what is righteousness? What does that look like? So who are you going to get the definition from? Who is going to define righteousness for you? It could be all kinds of different people tell you what's right, how you be right with God. I told you this about church here a few weeks ago. There's a lot of people out there that don't really care that you believe God as long as you believe the same as them. That's a pretty good word right there. Yeah, as long as you believe the same as us, then you can be part of the group. Yeah. But what about, what is righteousness? What is right standing with God? First and foremost is to believe in the risen Son, Jesus Christ. Now look, you got to be careful. Because if you're not careful, pretty soon we've sold the idea of Jesus to a point that people will leave and live believing in the idea of Jesus. How many of y'all believe Jesus is a good idea? No, he's not. He's the risen Son of God. Yeah, you can believe an idea to a point, but you can only truly believe down to your core in who and what you know for yourself. You see, I can't be a Christian because I believe that Dusty believes. Be careful now, because in America today, we give a lot of credence to Moses. Well, I thought Moses died and didn't get up. You're right. But we hired some. We're going to get us a Moses that'll go to the mountain. And 7 days later, we're going to come back. And we're going to tell all the Israelites what God said. And you need to believe it. You need to believe it. Well, I got to believe it. I don't have to believe it. I just got to believe that he believes it. That's not true. That's not true. Let me tell you about most of the people in your life. Not all of them, but a good part of them. When you get down to that part to where the manure hits the fan, there are very few people in your life who will stand there with you in front of the fan. They will fan you from the side of the fan, but there are very few that will stand there. When the poop hits the fan, they'll stand there in front of the fan with you. Jesus will. And you know who's going to be there with Jesus? You. Sit. You got to get where you do this flat-footed all by yourself. You don't have to do it all the time. It's plenty good to get in a group. It's plenty good to have a good time. Plenty good to worship together, congregate together, have community together. That's all good until it becomes your crutches and your glasses. Now it's not good anymore. Now it's in the way. Because one of these days when you find your Patmos, it's going to be you and him. Until it's you and him, you'll never know if you're righteous or not. I want you to hear that real good, because I know where that one came from. You'll never have a righteousness of your own until you've done this with him. And you won't be comparing yourself to everybody else that you know. But you'll understand your righteousness. Not, there's only one book written on it that counts. There's not a box-checking mechanism that goes with righteousness. You are the only person that knows if you are in right standing with God at this very moment. Not by counting all your deeds and not by measuring all your mistakes. Because look, in a normal human that's trying to live, you're going to have a list of both. God's power is plenty of sufficient to help you do your deeds. And his power of his grace is plenty sufficient for when you slip. But you are the only one that will ever understand your righteousness. And a man who does not obey God has no hope of attaining righteousness. And if you have no hope of attaining righteousness, then what's going to rule in your life? Sin. If you're not on a pathway to righteousness, being right with God, then sin will always rule. The rulership, the slavery, that's a big deal. It's funny that when you give ownership to God and become a slave to him, you actually become free. It's kind of a, I don't know if that's an oxymoron, maybe it's just an oxy, but it sounds like a contradiction in terms, so to speak. Well, that's only a contradiction if you grew up into the mythology that God is in control. That he's the grand puppeteer and everything happens for a reason. He's moving you here and he's moving you there. No, you drove your pickup here. You chose to be here. You chose to do what you do for a living. You chose these things. And when you and God choose them together, that's because he's got rulership in your life as a king and a priest. You hear God and you know from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that, hey, this is a bad idea. Hey, this is a good idea. Hey, God, these are my dreams, my hopes, my desires. I'm going to share with you my heart today, God. Well, I know the direction I'm going to get. Would you direct my steps? Where you work this out in unison. But when you can become a slave to anything else, you give ownership to anything else, you truly become a slave. There's no freedom. You can't take your hopes, your dreams, your desires, the things within you, and hand it up to your sin and say, get me to this place. You see, I tried that. When I first became a professional horse sale auctioneer, I was absolutely certain that a happy hour was the key to the most important relationships that would get me to where I need to get. Happy hour was the pathway to success. So take my hopes, everything I thought of when I was a little kid, all the things that I planned on, and I'm going to hand it up to Coors Light, to get me to my success. And wake up one day, and everything within me knows that I have utterly failed. That there is no pathway. It's a never-ending thing that begins to own your life. That keeps record of your mistakes. Begins to have collateral damage. Continues to spiral a little faster every day. Fling a little more junk off the wagon. But it's not junk. You're flinging the important stuff. It's beginning to leave. I'm not just talking about alcohol. I'm talking about greed. Self-promotion. All these kind of things where I can't find a clear pathway to success, because here again, How are, just like righteousness, how are you going to define success? You can do it like men do it. You can measure your sandbox and then count the toys. That's how men like to do it. Until you get regenerated to a different place where your success is not measured by your bank accounts.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.